Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Really need like a French fry.
I know. I usually go to McDonald's. Yeah. My Uber was running late. I usually swing by the McDonald's. Yeah. It's like the only time I get McDonald's. Grab a French fry.
Well, because French fries are potatoes.
Yeah.
And potatoes are good for you.
Welcome to Joblogs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
All right, welcome back. I'm Joy Marie, and Courtney's actually out of the office, out of the studio today. She's working on a lot of really exciting projects this month, so head over to Twitter, send her your good vibes and your good energy. She's doing some really amazing stuff, and we'll be excited to share that in a bit. But not to fret, because we have a guest co-host joining us today. Hey.
Hey.
Kelly Augustine.
Hey, y'all.
Joining us in the studio. Really excited to have her here. So if you are new to the show, you can kind of consider us your career confidants. We're kind of like the group chat you keep up during work.
Word.
Right? Unless you work at my office where they block everything.
No way.
They block Facebook. They block G-Chat Girl. Nothing.
Corporate
nothing.
Life.
So unless your office is a hater, we're kind of like that. And you can just consider us your girlfriends, share anything that you're dealing with at work and life with us. We're going to keep it all the way real with you. And if you're new to the show, we have this podcast, but we also have our weekly newsletter and a bunch of resources, links, tips and stuff on our website, joblogs.com. So check that all out. But Kelly, I'm so thrilled to have you here.
Oh my God, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining. Yeah, you look great.
Thanks, girl.
So today we're actually going to be talking a little bit about your career in fashion, blogging, how you've sort of parlayed that into a career. But we're also just going to share stuff we like, product raves, reviews, recommendations, answer some listener questions, and then kind of just hang out and talk a bit.
Shoot the breeze.
Sound cool?
Yeah.
All right. So Courtney and I usually start the episodes with a check-in. Mm-hmm. We like to call it our clock-in. And I think this is so important with all of your friend circles, just to see how you're doing personally or professionally. What were your goals this year? How are you tracking against them? Mm-hmm. So, I got to ask you, like, what's up? What's new?
Everything. I don't know what happened, but the past few months have been, like, really crazy.
In a good way?
In a really
what?
Good way.
Okay, how?
And so, I just got moved into this new position at my job. So I work at this place called Gwynny B.
Mm-hmm.
And we do fashion rentals. It's kind of like Rent the Runway, but for like everyday kind of clothes. And it's from sizes 10 to 32.
I love that.
I love it too.
Because so I am size, well within
most
that range.
Women are size 10 to 32. So,
exactly,
you know,
it's
a really great business model. Anyway, and so I moved into this new position as an influencer coordinator.
Mm.
And so I'm working with like our VIPs and bloggers and magazines and all of this stuff.
That's dope.
The job has been just going really, really well.
Good. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's really awesome. Thank you.
And we're going to get into that a little bit more later because,
awesome.
I mean, there's so much backstory to that from the way you sort of started in fashion blogging and ended up there. On my side, I mean, I feel like we've been having a really excellent month on the podcast. Like, it's been phenomenal
you
and
have.
Incredible. We were featured on New and Noteworthy in iTunes, which is very exciting. Shouts to everybody that kind of made that happen.
Yeah,
I'll get into
dope.
That later. But, you know, I've been thinking about some other things, too. And I was just telling you before we started, like, I didn't really sleep last night. I haven't been sleeping well this week.
Me neither.
I feel like I need to just have a seat.
Yeah.
You know
I had
what I mean?
So many things planned yesterday, and
did
I did
you?
None of them.
What happened?
I was supposed to shoot stuff on my blog and, like, do laundry and buy food and blah, blah, blah. And I just sat. I canceled everything, and I just sat down. And, like, sometimes you have to remember
to
do that.
Yeah, you do. You really do, because we just keep moving, especially in a city like New York. It gets so easy to get caught up in just being busy.
And it's interesting because especially being in the fashion blogging space, you see girls who live in like Wisconsin and all those other places that I don't know exist. And you see like they are just living so simply. And I'm like, why can't I live like that for like 37 hours? I just want to like milk cows and drink just relax. Lemonade and chill.
But you know what? You know what? You're from New York City, right? Born and raised. I'm from Maryland, and I actually found after living in the city, anytime I'd go home to visit my parents when they were back in Maryland, they're not there anymore, they're in Europe, but anytime I go visit them, I, like, am so bored, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm just like, we're just sitting here, why isn't anyone moving?
Why
I'm, like, mad at the
so
people
slow?
In the streets.
It's
like,
hard.
It's tough. It's I'll go up to a cash register and be like, lady, like, you gotta
you
count that money
faster. You don't
see
I'm standing
faster.
Here, I'm gonna need you to speed it up.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a double edged sword, really.
It really is.
It's hard.
It really is. But, you know, I think that is important. I got really sick about 2 weeks ago, and I'm still kind
me
of...
Me too.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Something's going around, and it's staying for like a
two
hot
weeks.
Minute.
I was sick for two weeks.
What is that? Is that
no
the flu?
Idea. Maybe.
Did you get your flu shot?
I didn't.
I didn't either this year.
See.
Maybe it was. I don't know. But it was like one night, I was like coughing my lungs out. I thought I was dying.
Yeah.
I was on WebMD.
I had cancer for like 2 weeks.
Right.
I was like, I'm dead. I don't know what's happening. I was in the Uber on
the way to the doctor like, you know what? I have lived a really good life. And my impact has been positive.
Like, it's over. I'm dead.
All the way. But yeah, she was pretty much like, girl, you need to just rest.
Chill out.
Slow it down. So all y'all listening, like,
remember
slow it down.
To take time for yourself.
Take time.
You know?
Take time.
And I tried to pretend I was taking a day off of work and actually worked from home.
And what happened?
I was sick.
Yeah.
By the time I got back to work, I was still sick. I was worse because I didn't actually rest.
Take the time, right?
I pretended
you can't cheat your body.
You really can't. Your body
can't.
Will knock you down.
It knows. It knows.
Yeah.
All right, cool. You ready to get into the episode?
Yeah, I am.
Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
All right, so this is the segment of the show where we typically share a rant, rave, product review, something that's pretty much enhancing our professional lives or everyday lives, whether it's personal or professional. I think it's a pretty good practice to just share kind of what tools you're using, you know, with everyone.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, you prepared something.
Yes.
What are you? Are you ranting, raving?
I am raving.
Raving? What are you raving?
I'm raving about Toggle. Do you know about Toggle?
No, what is Toggle?
It's T-O-G-G-L.
Okay.
It's this kind of productivity tool.
Mm-hmm.
So you can break everything that you do within a day. You break it down into projects,
mm-hmm.
and then you can time yourself and see, like, how much time you're spending on things.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's changed my work life so much.
Really?
I realized I had so much time under miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous.
I was like, wait a second, like, what am I doing?
What is miscellaneous?
I don't know. I was like, when I go to the bathroom, I put it on miscellaneous. Or if I, like, go to the kitchen to get something to drink or, like, check my personal email, I'll just, like, tap miscellaneous.
Okay.
And I was like, man, I'm spending a little too much time just, I don't know, like shooting the breeze.
How do you track like your social media activity, like being on Facebook, surfing
Instagram?
That goes
under miscellaneous.
Oh, does
it? So all
of
my like personal stuff just goes under miscellaneous.
I have a strong feeling my miscellaneous would also dominate.
What? Especially being a blogger, like
I
have to at some point, and I usually do it during my lunch hour. But because now it's part of my job to, like, be on YouTube, be on Instagram, I get distracted sometimes.
You're like, this rabbit hole is justified.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I wish it were.
Wait, so tell me more. So is it an app or is it like a website?
It's a website. It's just TOGGL.com.
Okay, so you block things off, you put them in, and then you have to actually actively track them.
You have to actively track them.
So is that something you use on an ongoing basis, or is it sort of a good exercise just for like an audit one time?
I've been doing it for 2 weeks.
Mm.
And at the end of the week, they send you like a summary of all
the
of the projects.
Oh, wow.
And it'll show you like for miscellaneous, you spent 8 hours doing that this week.
I love that.
What were you doing?
I love
you know?
That. I'm definitely going to check
that
out.
Oh, it's great. It's
because
great.
Especially when you live a life where you're compartmentalizing everything.
Yeah.
Like you and I, we have our full-time jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have our side sort of projects, blogs, podcasts, whatever. Then we have like, you know, maybe volunteer obligations, things that you do outside of work, family, life, things like that. And it gets really, really hard for me to track everything and also create like structured time for things. So I'm going to check that out. That sounds dope.
It's a really good website.
Cool. Well, I have two. So firstly, I'm going to shout out water flavor enhancers. Are you familiar?
Okay. Like the whatever.
Yeah, like this. Yeah, okay. So there are these little bottles that you can get. I get mine at Walgreens or Duane Reade. And they're like liquid flavored packs that you squirt into your water. Kelly, let me tell you, this has been changing my life.
Is it sugar free? There has to be a touch.
Yeah, it says, I mean, it says zero calories.
Okay.
I feel like, so the one thing I don't know is like, you know how people said Equal will give you cancer and stuff like that?
Right, yeah.
I'm not sure if like this type of like flavoring has detrimental effects, but you're only squirting like a squirt. And honestly, I cannot stop drinking water. Like water is my new jam.
See, I feel like that would be dangerous for me.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's so good.
Okay,
but
I mean,
your water intake during the day is so important to boosting your productivity. Mm-hmm. And shouts to my line sister and best friend, Yonori.
Mm-hmm.
She had me doing a little health challenge with her. She's a health nut. But, I agreed to do it for like 12 weeks. And one main thing she said was like, you need to start kicking off your mornings with water.
Yeah.
Like drinking a glass of water. And honestly, it's made me feel so much better. I'm still working on it, but like, you know, people have said their skin clears up, you feel more energetic. It also naturally will just flush out
all the toxins
and help you feel more full so you're not eating as much.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that I think like I really wanted to get into something that would help me enjoy my water more. And these have been really great. So Dasani makes them. A bunch of other companies make them. Crystal Light, I think, has a couple.
Let me look at the ingredients.
This one is orange and passion fruit. I also have like a mixed berry. Sometimes I'll do orange, passion fruit and mixed berry together at the same time.
Getting lit.
Get fancy on
all
you.
Right. okay. I see. There's natural flavors.
Natural? What? Okay. Natural,
okay.
Quote unquote.
Moving, yellow fire. You know the yellow.
That's
the
not
hood.
Good. Okay, so I need to start reading the nutrition.
But shout out to the flavored water enhancer.
Yeah.
I mean,
guys,
anything
let me know. I don't know.
Started.
If y'all know anything like it that's more natural, let me know. My mom sent me hibiscus flowers.
Oh, yeah.
When she was up here, and I've just been throwing those in water and letting that flavor
that works
too.
Like the lemons and the citrus slices and water.
Yeah.
That helps too.
True.
Yeah. I'm into these. I'm going to get some.
And then my other one that I have to shout out that I know you will appreciate as a blogger is Adobe Creative Cloud.
Yes.
So I have to, you know, sometimes when I'm preparing for this, I have to, like, look at the stuff I assume everyone knows about and then be like, you know, people really don't know about Adobe Creative Cloud. So for all of y'all that hit me up talking about you got a Photoshop Connect, this, that, and the other, I'm going to tell you what my Connect is.
Are people trying to pirate Photoshop? Ooh.
I mean.
Okay.
So I've had the Adobe Creative Suite since I started designing when I was like 12, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't start with Photoshop, but I got into Photoshop maybe at 14, 15. It's very expensive software, understandably so. It's like professional grade, I think. I don't know the price points, but anywhere I remember back in the day up from $400 per application. And so the whole suite could easily run you several thousands of dollars. And so back in the day.
I mean,
I'm
not gonna put it out there.
You know,
but
I'm just sweet.
I had Photoshop.
I didn't
I'm gonna just
pay
say
for
that.
It. It was there.
Yeah.
But back in the day, you know, you would get it, and then every time a new version would come out, it's kind of like Apple. They release new versions very periodically. You'd have to like do the whole hustle all over again.
Yeah, you gotta search
again,
for that
right?
key. Get that key.
So I really love that Adobe entered the subscription space, much like a lot of these cloud based applications are doing. Mm-hmm. And created Adobe Creative Cloud. So now you can sign up for as little as $9.99 a month,
that's
up to like $50 a month, and you get the suite of applications or one app, depending on what your needs are. I think $9.99 is just the Photoshop.
I have Photoshop and Lightroom for
$9.99. Right. You have the $9.99 one, and that's perfectly fine for blogging.
Right.
And I highly recommend that everyone, I'm not even going to say bloggers, I really feel like every professional should have Photoshop.
At this point,
mocking up graphics, working on things for work, it just makes you so much more of a resource when you can say, oh, yeah, I could
I
throw
can do
that together for you. We don't need to outsource that to a designer or whatever. Like, I could do that. So I highly recommend it. And if you're strapped for cash, Creative Cloud is the way to go. I love it anyway, just because, like, I can access it on two devices, so I can put it on a home computer and a laptop. I can access my files in the cloud wherever I am. It's super, super dope. So
that's a great recommendation. I recommend Creative Cloud too. I use it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. All right, Kelly. So I know the girls want to ask you about lipstick and clothing recommendations and all of that, but I hope you don't mind.
No.
I really want to spend some time getting into your career and the behind the scenes because I feel like, you know, I've known you since college.
Yeah.
And I kind of saw the progression from starting with an idea, the Mask Magazine blog.
Yeah.
And
oh, man, throwback.
Yes. Starting a blog, being consistent over several years. Like, it was years before, you know, you popped off, but it was like a consistent stream.
Yeah.
And then knowing that you went back and got your master's degree in brand management, right? Mm-hmm. And then now are parlaying it into a career full-time in fashion. I think those are the things people don't see.
Yeah. No one ever asked me about that.
Right. So let's talk about that for a change because, you know, I really think that it's empowering to think about how we can start looking at a lot of our hobbies and interests and how that can turn into a lucrative career. So you built something from the ground up, mm-hmm. sitting behind a computer, kind of putting things together, which I can relate to a lot. I think mm-hmm. we're very similar in that way, where there's so much power in what you can create at home with Photoshop, with a blog tool. Tell us about, like, how you started in that space and what kind of discipline it took to take it from sort of a fun thing you were doing into...
Yeah.
A brand.
So what happened? I was in school in 2009, mm-hmm. and I was majoring in ad and PR, but I was minoring in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And the program wasn't really built out, and I just felt like I wasn't writing enough.
Mm.
And, you know, when we were at college, we were on, like, Zanga and, like,
Zanga. Oh my
Blogspot.
Gosh.
You know, so I kind of knew how to use it, you know?
Yes,
so I kind of
yes.
knew how to use it. Mm-hmm. And I was also interning at Time Out New York Magazine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so I kind of just, I had the magazine bug and I had all these friends doing different things and just started doing it. And because I was interning and also in school, I was kind of forced to be disciplined with it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
there was no way that I was going to update if I didn't put time in my schedule to do it.
And what was your focus at that time? So when you say blogging, that was...
My focus at the time, so what was really hot back then was like Parlor Magazine and like Coco and Cream and those kinds of things. And working at Time Out too, like kind of that format of having different interests. And so I tried to update every interest throughout the week.
So it was like a collection
of... It was a magazine.
Oh, essentially like an online magazine. Got
so
it.
So there was food, there was music, and there
Got
was
it.
Fashion and beauty.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I had all of my friends who were interested in all of those things updating.
Oh, contributing.
Every week. Yeah.
Nice.
So that's how I was able to be consistent at first.
Nice.
But then when you're not paying people, they lose interest.
And so, good to know. Because,
yeah.
I you
mean,
know.
If you're not putting out the coin, you're not going to get anything.
That's true. That's true.
So, I actually, I want to say 2011, started just blogging by myself.
Mm.
And then I had to change my schedule a little bit. And, mm-hmm. you know, at first I was editing other people's stuff, and then it became me writing my own thing.
Yeah.
And at that time, the space for fashion, particularly plus-size fashion, was really changing, and it was becoming a lot more editorial.
Mm.
And no one else was really talking about it.
Mm.
And so, you know, I'm going to Fashion Week, and I'm going to these events. And I'm seeing these women on the runway, and I wasn't represented, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought they were beautiful, but, like, I couldn't wear any of it.
Yeah.
And so, I had to find things to wear to look, quote-unquote, like, acceptable for Fashion Week.
Yeah.
And so one time my friend came with me. Shout out to Teeny. She's one of my besties. I was with her, and she took a picture of me,
mm-hmm.
and I posted it. And it just went viral, like, out of nowhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so then I was like, okay, so there's a market for this.
Yeah, that's not
and
being
so,
served.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's a lot of women that have questions and want to know. And so then I started making time to write about that.
Mm, okay.
And that's when it started to kind of snowball.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good to know. Yeah, I hadn't realized that. But, you know, I want to back up a bit and touch on just sort of that the work ethic, whether it was from the very beginning days of sort of the Mask Magazine mm-hmm. format to you blogging on your own. I think a lot of us spend countless hours online working on different projects. But that time doesn't always translate into like we're not working smart.
Yeah.
We work a lot, we work hard, but we're not working very smart or efficiently.
Yeah.
So how did you, you know, as you saw what people were reacting to, how did you make sure to keep your focus and evolve your focus on the things that were really more marketable?
Mm. That's a good question. I think it comes from passion.
Mm.
And when you're really passionate about what you're doing, you make the time for it.
Yeah.
And so I was like taking my breaks, like I still do. I take my lunch break sometimes to blog. Mm. And I try to just like squeeze it into my schedule.
Right,
so,
right.
It has to be focused because I'm only giving it an hour or two.
Yes. Yeah.
And there are some times when I'm like doing research, well, it'll take a couple hours and I have to pull back.
Mm.
But just really being mindful of your time, mm-hmm. and especially in the beginning, knowing that it's not going to get as many like likes or retweets, or it's not going to be
republished. So not sitting around refreshing your page looking to see how many likes.
Don't
you got,
do
like
that
I
to yourself.
No,
I still do that. Like I'll post something on Instagram, and it'll be like the first 10 minutes. I'm like, oh my god, am I going to like it? You know,
girl, please.
But you have
get
to
like
stop.
500 likes
no,
a
not all
I can't
the time.
Even deal. I
not
can't
all
even
the time.
Deal. But no, that's such a good point because it's like you have to have enough focus and faith in yourself and what you're doing to say, let me create, put it out there, leave it alone and focus on
it
the next thing. Like you have to keep moving.
You have to be focused on that and you have to, because the more time you spend worrying about things that are happening right now is the less time you're putting into things like future projects.
Mm,
so
true.
I kind of do things and move on
and
try not to get too caught up in everything.
I love it. Yeah. Okay. So you build this online blog empire over time, with consistency over time, and you grow your community.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get to a place where brands became interested in you and what you were doing? And how did you, as you think about that, how did you make sure that the image the brand was seeing when they came and visited your site was one that would be attractive and appealing to them?
So with blogging, let me take a second. So with fashion blogging, around like 2012 is when things started to change and people started monetizing.
Mm.
So I think I got in it early enough to where the passion was what was pushing me.
Okay.
So I didn't get caught up in the money as much. So
I
said yes to opportunities because I love the brand and what they stood for. And so
then you were also already established in the space when the monetization opportunities came around.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
And I'm because I was working in advertising and marketing, like I'm hyper perfectionist.
Yeah.
And so everything has to be right. And so I started to do research on like when is the best time to take a photo, like angles, those kinds of things.
Lighting.
So I was like, lighting is so important. And I was just like very particular about it. And so even if, and it still happens where I take opportunities that don't pay me because I feel passionate, like I just feel good about it.
Okay. I love that.
And then it always, without a doubt, turned into something paid.
Mm.
And I just make sure that the work that I put forward is something that is cool and that a brand will appreciate and want me to produce more of.
Okay, so we gotta break this apart a little bit because, especially in fashion, but I'm the same way in terms of like, I will pay a logo designer to do a logo even though I know how to twiddle around in Photoshop because that's not my specialty.
Right.
A lot of the girls on Instagram, you know, are aspiring. We have our boutiques. We want to attract people.
Yes.
But the number one thing I see is just like really inconsistent or amateur looking brands.
Yes.
And it's where you're trying to do things yourself. It's where you're throwing Tweegram text on top of a picture. And it just doesn't look polished. It doesn't look professional.
Yeah.
No shade, because I had to learn it too.
But shade though. I think people need to hear that and understand. Like pay the $2 to take the retweet off the side or the re-Instagram.
The Instagram thing on the bottom right
loop
corner.
Loop.
Yeah.
You gotta,
take
that
off.
Like,
take
just
it
stop
off.
Playing yourself.
But honestly, so you've always had a really good eye for design and things like that, and that's represented in the work that you do
on your
blog and your images. You know, you've invested in a DSLR. Mm-hmm. Everything's high res. But, you know, I think a lot of people don't have a design eye, and I try to be sympathetic to that as well.
Yeah.
So one thing that I always recommend, if you don't, maybe if you're not even aware that something maybe doesn't look great or is tacky or isn't great from a design perspective, look at the brands you really admire.
Exactly.
Go to the pages of people that you like and really start to research how they present.
Right.
So, you know, one example I always make that cracks me up is I'll see people go on trips and hashtag pick stitches to travel noir.
Oh, my God.
To get featured on the Travel Noir page. Mm-hmm. And I always got to be like, y'all, go to Travel Noir's page.
You don't
Do you ever see that? Any pick stitches on there? No.
Like,
it's full, bleed, beautiful, high-res, colorful photos with, you know, some point of interest in terms of a person, right? Yeah. So you got to take a start auditing.
I get that question a lot. Like, how do I build this audience? How do I get my blog to pop off or whatever? You have to look at the person that you're asking the question to and say, what is that person doing? That answers half of the questions that you send in an email. It's just pay attention.
Yeah,
and really, it's okay to ask someone to mentor you. And you got to build a squad. Like for me, I have friends who are super honest with me if something looks like trash. Like they'll tell me like, okay, we might have to change this, tweak that. You know, I ask questions all the time. All of the time. Whenever, before I put something out, I send to like three people and say, what do you think?
It's true. It's true. And I mean, we've been in each other's G-Chat conversations talking about random things, bouncing things off of each other. So that's critical. So, you know, I'm going to pivot a little bit. We got to shout you out because you were featured in Essence recently. They did a really great spotlight interview with you about your career, how you parlayed kind of the fashion into this role at Gwynnie B in influencer management. They stole half of the questions I had prepared for this interview.
No way.
But it's all good because we love Essence, and that's a major platform. So congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
You know, being in the fashion space, fashion industry. There's a lot of, at least from the outside looking in, a lot of superficiality and a lot of really tough personalities in terms of working in that space, right? That's something I've heard even from past guests. How do you combat any insecurities that can come up, you know, just as a result of kind of dealing with tough personalities, dealing with being assessed on appearance, on you know, visuals? Like, how do you deal with that?
So for my personal just like work life, I'm very blessed that I work at a company that is for plus size fashion. And so the expectation is, as the plus size girl, you're going to come in and you're going to look cute. Like, you know, and then I think with me being a blogger, you know, I just have the closet to work in the space. So it's, you know, I don't really deal with that as much. But online, it gets really tough. And you get a lot. I get a lot of really nasty comments sometimes. Or I get a lot of really nasty men in my DMs. And it's not flattering. Like, it's not complimentary. And I think a lot of people think that it is.
Oh, like nasty as in, like, sexually advance.
And, you know, I think you just got to take it with a grain of salt. Even even working in the space and working in the fashion industry, I think plus size fashion is a little different, but working in the fashion industry, you just got to kind of take it on the nose and keep moving. Like, if someone has a problem with what you look like, okay, but are you judging my work? Because my work speaks for itself. You know, so
I love that.
You just take it for what it is. And at the end of the day, that person's going to leave in 6 months. The turnaround in fashion is like months.
That's true. So if you can hack it.
Just deal with it. I wish I had someone, I mean, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but I wish I had someone when I first started working in like marketing and PR and fashion. I wish I had someone to tell me to just suck it up and just do my job. I think especially now, like, egos are on full tilt and like, people get really wrapped up in their emotions. And sometimes you just gotta
step away from it.
Let it go and just
But you
do
know,
your
those
job.
Are the points where I'm like, what I have going on outside of work is bigger to me than this little
so I'm like,
thing
I'm just
you're feeling
gonna,
right here.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna be
I'm gonna be lit. I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna be lit. And you can go home.
You can
and
still be mad. Stay mad.
Exactly.
Stay
you
mad
can
about
be
it.
Better.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, so, Kelly.
Yes.
I want to be you so bad.
Shut up.
You got a wig. I got a wig.
We got wigs.
You know, you got your ColourPop popping. I went and got my ColourPop popping. You was like, girl, these blazers at H&M.
Yes.
I went and bought the blazers.
Yes.
But that's powerful. Like,
thank you. I love
that. That is power. Influence is power. So tell me about how you've navigated the ethics of knowing you could tweet out something or Instagram something and the girls will go running to buy it. You know, how have you, what is that even like?
It's ridiculous. I mean, I still struggle with having influence and people are always like, yeah, shut up. But like when people say like, you inspire me and I wouldn't have done this without you. And that's heavy. Mm. And the responsibility of that, it weighs on me.
Yeah, Which it's refreshing though, because I think it should.
Yeah.
I think it should, right?
Some people get gassed and it just becomes a whole.
Too much.
It becomes a whole other thing.
Yeah. But in working with brands, and we touched on this earlier, like, you know, I mean, if you can, I would love to know, like, what kind of payouts are people offering? What are people talking about? And, you know, I can always tell the difference between people who are just sort of flashing out teeth whiteners to get the check.
And the waist trainers.
The waist trainers.
The detox. You know, like, just stop.
Right.
Just stop.
Right. You seem to select, like you said earlier, I think this speaks to the fact that you align things with your passion and align things with areas you're interested in. You seem to be very selective about that.
I am.
And at the same time, I also, like, I'm never apologetic about collecting a coin. Like, we're on Acast now. We're running ads.
Yeah.
We need to pay, you know, it's a lot of money to do a lot of this work, and it's a lot of time and resources. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any shame in monetizing. But what are the ethics? How do you navigate them?
Like you said, I only align with brands that make sense for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, like, your FCC, you're supposed to hashtag when something is paid anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I make sure to include, like, a funny hashtag so people know, like, I got paid for this, but I actually did use it and love it.
So I think
just really making sure, I'm very particular in just making sure that. So I did something with Planet Fitness.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it was sponsored. But I got a little backlash for it because being in the plus space, people take you advocating for fitness as you advocating for body shaming.
Really?
Yeah, it's such a
Twitter
everything
logic.
Is so touchy. Yeah, everything is just so touchy.
That don't make no sense.
And
are
I'm
you
like,
serious?
But do you want to die? Like, you have to exercise at some point. Like, my knees hurt and my back hurts, and I think it's okay to exercise.
Yeah.
I try to make sure that everything comes back to something else that I've talked about.
Yeah, I think it's values. I think that's what you're talking about. And like the whole Black Girl Magic debate, something that really rubbed me the wrong way there was just like, you know, my opinions on the article itself are irrelevant, but living in a society where you can't contest, you know, where everyone contests your opinion and
ridiculous.
You have to kind of have groupthink and nothing you do is right, I think it comes down to your personal values and being so confident and firm in that, that you're unapologetic about the spaces
Unmoved.
That you're in. Yeah.
Unmoved.
Unbothered, honey.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So who, you know, who in the space is inspiring you right now? What, you know, who are your mentors? Who are the figures that you'd like to work with?
Oh, man. I really like, I'm going to probably mispronounce her name, Elaine Waltzworth from Teen Vogue. She's their beauty editor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I am, like, slightly obsessed with her. I think she's
really?
Just really cool and just, like, very, she just seems very down to earth.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like people like that.
Mm.
I don't think there are enough people
right.
who seem human at this point.
Yeah.
And so trying to find the handful of people that are.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough, but she's one of my favorites. I really, really like her.
Nice, yeah. No, yeah. I think the down-to-earth piece is so relevant, and I'm going to shout out someone later on that I think has embodied that very well as well.
Okay.
And then lastly, I know you glossed over it. We got to talk some coins, girl.
Yes.
Like, not your business necessarily, but, like, what's the realistic, you know, I don't know. I think people think about their hobbies, and we are very shy about talking about how to monetize, mm-hmm. how to make a living for herself.
Yeah.
You've done that both in getting this full-time job with Gwynnie B, where you're managing so much.
Yeah.
And y'all, if you want to learn more about that, check out the Essence article. We'll link to it. But even on the personal side with the blogging and creating a brand there, mm-hmm. what kind of sustainable lifestyle are we talking?
So, you know, it's funny because people at work, because I get everything delivered to work.
Okay.
So people see what I'm getting and they're like, what the, how? How? And I tell people all the time, start a blog or just go outside and take pictures during the day. Mm-hmm. You never know what it'll turn into. So you can get paid to tweet. You can get paid to Instagram.
Mm.
Instagram right now is so hot. Like, you could get one blog post. I mean, one Instagram post right now, the minimum, like, standard is around, like, 200, 250.
Oh, wow.
Just to post
something. If you have clout in the audience.
I mean, it depends. If they reach out to you.
Oh, okay.
You know, you could be like, well, I have so many followers.
Yeah.
And most people start at 200.
Okay.
But, there are people who have, like, full-time jobs just being cute.
Yeah.
And
don't say that, because, girl, we done talked about the work and the late nights.
Yeah,
well,
that's the thing. Is that people don't see that side
of
it. And, you know, it is definitely, it's hard work.
Yeah, yeah. Content calendars, editorial calendars.
Oh, it's not a game. My management of my content is ridiculous. Mm. Like, I have it broken out by season, by month, by week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Oh, it's intense. But, you can do it. Some people build boutiques. Some people have clothing lines. Some people just become content managers and start, like, whole networks. And it can become a thing if you're really, really focused. It can.
Love it.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Ask Joblogs, the segment of the show where we address your career, life questions, give you our advice to the best of our ability. We also want to keep the dialogue going. If you guys have experience with any of these scenarios, be sure to hit us up, tweet us, whatever. You can always submit your questions to us at joblogs.com/askjoblogs. And Kelly's going to join us today.
Yes.
So we have one from your Instagram, actually, and we're going to call her B. So B writes, just got a job at my alma mater, Mizzou. I work in PR and I'm the only black face in the department. With the protests and recognition of racism on campus last year, I know I was recruited to help, quote unquote, fix things. But already I feel my voice being silenced, even though I was a student there just last year experiencing the racism and you know, that the students are fighting against now. Any advice? Oh, Lord.
That is that's
deep.
So heavy.
That's deep.
And just on so many levels, I'm really just sorry that she's going through that.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, especially being so young.
Yeah.
That's so much weight.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But I will say, part of the reason why I actually didn't work in PR is because the couple of times that I did, I was the only brown face in the room. And it's really the diversity in the public relations industry has been an issue for a very long time. So I want to understand, like, that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a thing no matter where she is.
Yeah.
As far as being in Mizzou and knowing that you are there kind of as their black person, you know, that, which is terrible. When I first graduated from college, I was working at an advertising agency and I was hired as a diversity candidate. And I was very much treated like a diversity candidate. My managers were very condescending. I feel like I got less training than everyone. And I was set up to fail.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I already knew what it was.
And that's, so, I mean, girl, we could spend forever on that because I used to work in HR and diversity. And that is an inherent problem when you focus on diversity for diversity's sake instead of just representing people from everywhere that are great, that do awesome work, and treating them all equally. Like, none of us are here asking to be hired
at all
because we're black or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, employers know that.
Yeah. So, you know, it weighed heavily on me. Mm-hmm. And I would go home and I would cry. And, it was hard. Mm. If I had someone tell me that what I was doing was bigger than myself, I would have stayed.
Mm.
You know, I think she, B, needs to understand that the work that she's doing is so important.
Yeah.
And it's going to hurt her feelings, her personal feelings. But she is representing so many people, and the work that she's doing is much bigger than she is.
Yeah, B. And what I'd say to you is that, you know, what's great about the internet is the sense of community that you can build and form there. Mm-hmm. So if you can't get the support that you need, that you're looking for from the department, seek it out elsewhere. Seek it out in online communities. We're always here as a resource. Tap into us.
Right.
But also, like, there are different groups and organizations you can start to align yourself with, whether that's the NAACP, whatever is near and dear to you and to the causes that matter to you. Find those support groups because you're going to need
it.
You're going to need a mentor who can relate to your experience and your perspective and also give you advice in terms of how to make an impact in the work that you're doing and how to navigate those situations.
Right. And also, being in that position, PR is all politics.
Mm.
And you have to find a way to circumvent and kind of navigate without. So how can I put this? So find a way. Unfortunately, being Black in corporate spaces, we're automatically assumed to be aggressive.
Mm.
Find a way that is not aggressive and is inclusive so people don't feel threatened by you and they start to hear your voice.
Yeah.
So find a perspective of an administrator and try and work it in that way so that they understand where you're coming from and you're not just, it doesn't just seem like you're just knocking on their door and banging your head
preaching
against
the
wall.
Black.
Right, preaching.
Which you still should.
Absolutely do.
But that's a good point, is that, like, you know, succeed at their game.
Right.
Play in their spaces.
Exactly.
So find ways to add value, whether it's, I know with PR, contexts are huge,
right?
The context that you can form, that's value. That's currency. If you can go out and you could start to build partnerships, not just with Black organizations, but across the board.
Exactly.
And start to get people interested in that dialogue and show that you have value outside of just this Black vertical they're putting you in and boxing you in. That's huge.
Yeah. And that you, like, the respect that you gain for beating someone at their game, like, you'll rise without without any issue. So
good luck. That is, I mean,
that's heavy, man.
Girl, but kudos to you for fighting the good fight. So important, the work you're doing.
Praise.
All right, so we have another question from Aneem. She writes, "Hello, ladies. I was recently introduced to your show by my sister, B. Awe, and I'm hooked. Oh, I love B. B writes us all the time.
Sweet.
super dope. Love her. She's like our biggest fan. I listen to you ladies on my way to work every day, and I'd really love your advice on some career changes I'm considering. I currently work as a clinical social worker. In this role, I work as a mental health therapist day in and out, seeing a range of clients with various concerns. I really want to break out of the direct care patient realm and get into management. I'd like to bring my skills into a different area, possibly like teaching or art. I think I have transferable people skills. The problem is I don't really have much management experience that I can think of. However, I have years of clinical experience. Thanks for your help and keep up the great work." So what I'm hearing here is pretty much like she's directly working with patients as a social worker, and she's trying to move into more of like the management, which may be more corporate or something like that. So I don't know much about this field, but immediately when I thought of that, it kind of took me back to like my stint in retail. And not to compare the two at all, no disrespect or anything like that, but I feel like it's, I remember the space of like, okay, so I'm here in retail interfacing with customers. It's very difficult sometimes to translate from like a retail job, transfer from a retail job into like a corporate job. Same as when I interviewed with the Apple store. And, you know, it's very hard to make that switch. And so I started thinking about like, okay, what can you do without me knowing really much about that space in particular? And I think it's really around speaking to your skills differently.
Right.
So like instead of talking, you know, in your day-to-day function, you work with people, right? But instead of talking about the work you do with people, talk about more of the strategy behind that work. So corporate, you know, management is really about like, how can I grow the business?
Right.
How can I contribute to the revenue?
Right.
How can I create more strategic partnerships that'll benefit the business?
Right.
And I think across the board, that's something
every
company cares about, mm-hmm. right? So if you can start to demonstrate or speak to experience in your past that feeds and funnels into those things specifically, like here, you know, I work with customers, but let me step outside of that one-on-one interaction and tell you about holistically what I think our customer strategy should be,
right.
or what I think our patient strategy should be, or how we can, you know, create synergies in some of our groups or the way we assign mm-hmm. caseworkers so that on the back end, we're saving money as a company. That's the kind of like thinking you need to start to do, like stepping
yeah.
away from the one-on-one interaction.
Yeah, I think that kind of perspective is super important in any field.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to find more efficient ways to do things and, you know, grow a business.
Yeah.
It makes you so valuable.
Yeah.
It makes you so valuable. I also think, again, for any field, doing work outside of your work really helps.
Yes, yes,
and
absolutely.
And so if you can find a way to, I don't know, find something where you're managing
mm-hmm.
over the weekend, and it doesn't, I don't know if it has to be in social work because I'm also not familiar with that field.
Yeah.
But find a way to get experience outside of work.
Mm,
so you can then say, well, I've been managing this for 6 months.
Right.
This is how I've helped this business
right,
grow.
Right.
These are
yeah.
my ideas for us.
Yes, yes.
You know, so you can at least speak, and that's how you can build your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Good luck. Keep us posted.
Yeah, girl.
All right, so I don't really have a real hired or fired this week. I feel like I'm trolled all week long.
Yeah.
Kanye, B.O.B. versus
like,
science.
I had a really hard time with B.O.B. versus science because my husband's an engineer.
Oh, goodness.
And so seeing Neil deGrasse Tyson go on... oh, my gosh. He went on... Oh, my gosh. Why can't I remember his name? He went on Larry Wilmore.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Wilmore.
Wilmore, whatever mm-hmm. his name is.
Yeah.
And he just like totally
tore him
to shreds.
But a third
why?
Grader could tear like, him to shreds. It just didn't make any sense.
Kanye, yes, I can't.
yeah, I can't.
There's just so many levels to it.
Throughout the week. So I feel like by the time I get to the studio, I'm just spent. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do a hire
okay.
really quickly. I got a shout out. I told y'all this whole iTunes doing noteworthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we also got signed to Acast, as you guys know, which is a great network platform. They're doing some very revolutionary stuff in the podcasting space. And when Acast had reached out to us about signing us on, I didn't know anything. There was no precedence for anything. And so I reached out to Aminatu So and Ann Friedman, who run another really successful podcast called Call Your Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And from listening, I knew that they were signed to Acast. And I have to say, like, I reached out and I was like, listen, they presented this deal. I don't know much about it. I don't have really mentors in this space. I have spoken with like Brittany Luce from Gimlet Media, who's phenomenal. Shout outs to her. But, you know, I don't really have like a precedence for this. And when I tell you that they wrote back, like, and not just wrote back, but wrote back like a 2-page thing with here's what numbers we were presented with. Here's what's competitive. We are, you know, of this size, so we can negotiate more. Good luck to you. Like, it's so rare.
That doesn't happen.
It's so rare.
People don't do that anymore because everything is competition. Everyone's competitive, and it becomes I'm threatened by you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to actually help you out with anything.
When
That's
I say
great
I was
that they
so impressed. Like,
back.
These ladies are really practicing what they preach
Shout
and really are
that.
About paying it forward. So
yeah.
y'all are hired.
Shout
I know you're
that.
Already.
Yeah.
you should probably be hiring me.
Yeah.
But
Hi.
y'all are hired. I love
awesome.
You guys for that. Thank you so much
awesome.
For that help. Do you have
I,
one?
I actually would like to fire the American people.
Oh.
Yeah.
All of them?
Just like, okay, so I let's fire South Carolina. because Donald Trump won.
Oh, goodness.
And you know what? Let's fire Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
This is not funny anymore.
It's not.
I think people were into him because it was a joke.
Yeah.
But he's winning.
Yeah, no. It's not okay.
He is like the forerunner as Republican.
Listen, I've been trying to tell y'all for years, they don't respect us abroad.
Yeah,
for these reasons. Exactly.
This doesn't
for these reasons
make sense.
It doesn't.
And it's just not funny.
Yeah,
he's a bigot. He's a racist.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many levels to his nonsense.
There's no reason why. I feel like I fired him at least four times in our newsletter already. It's just like not even funny. But I'm not joking with you guys. If for whatever reason this continues, I will be packing my bags.
Oh, I'm leaving.
And I will be moving to Canada.
It's not even a game.
To Switzerland with my parents. I don't care. Yeah. Australia.
Anywhere that's
not. It doesn't matter, but
yeah,
this is out of control.
It just doesn't make sense anymore. I've considered dual citizenship in Jamaica.
Oh, Jamaica.
Yeah, because my husband's Jamaican. So we actually have talked about it.
Okay.
This is not funny
anymore. Keep me posted. I was looking at cooler climates, but you know.
Okay.
We should put together like our list.
Because if I have to press the eject button on this, I will. It's not funny anymore. I just can't.
Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun. It was such a good time. So where can we connect with you and find you around the web?
Yeah. So my Instagram and my Twitter are Kelly Augustine B. So I'll spell it KellyAugustineB. Just the letter B.
Cool.
There's a Kelly Augustine, shout out to her, the other Kelly Augustine on Instagram, who kind of looks like me.
Oh, does she really?
It's really, we need to trace our roots because I feel like I'm related to her. She's super cute.
Do you watch Orphan Black? It could be like a clone situation.
It could be. So Twitter, Instagram is Kelly Augustine B. And on YouTube, I'm actually Mask Magazine. They won't let me change my URL for some reason.
M-A-S-Q-U-E. Love it.
Mask Magazine.
As always, you can find us around the web. Be sure to hit up our website, jobbox.com. We always post follow-up content, interviews, resources, articles, all the links from the episode there. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Lots of recommendations for your commute, what we're reading, listening to. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at jobblogs. Courtney, send her your well wishes as Cleave Out Loud. And I'm Hey Miss Parker, MissParkerr. Do not forget to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. Little note here, if the rating is less than 5 stars, you can keep it.
Yeah. Actually, just hold on to that.
You know
keep
what?
That in your back pocket, y'all.
Yeah.
Don't
come back to that.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I mean, you know, we always appreciate you guys rating us, and the ratings really help us to get discovered by other people who might find this content beneficial. I'm going to read one that we have from an Ashley Conyers, who says, "Great for young adults like me. I'm a 24-year-old up-and-coming artist and designer, and this podcast gave me life and inspiration."
Yes, Ashley.
Thank you so much, Ashley. As always, thanks to our producer, Adrian Wagner, our studio here in Manhattan, Visionary Media, and you guys for listening. You guys are incredible. Okay, but seriously, Kelly, what are your go-to lipsticks?
My go-to lipsticks? ColourPop right now is my jam.
Oh,
I'm obsessed with
all
them.
Of them.
I'm going to Miami in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks. What? I am wishing and hoping. It's more like 5. But I need to get up on my brighter ColourPop colors.
Nice.
H&M actually has a really great selection of like cream lipsticks is what they call them.
Online. You buy online, right?
No, I go to the store.
Oh, you go to the store?
I'm a store shopper.
Oh, okay.
As much as I can.
It stresses me out.
Yeah. For most people it does, but for me it's very relaxing.
Cool.
H&M, ColourPop, Dior. They have a red lipstick that I swear by. The Rouge Favor.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sorry.
Oh, all right. Fancy.
Fancy.